in the new poems, you have a collection of epigrams.
Yeah, those are epigrams and epitaphs. I'm fond of writing those things. They're sometimes funny, and they're addictive. You know, it's a bit like eating peanuts. You start writing epitaphs and you can't stop. So I do have a number of them among my poems.
And I think some of those would come to you, our friend Robert Henry tells me, as you were swimming laps.
Yeah, when I went to Tucson to begin my final teaching stint at the University of Arizona, I was not used to the Tucson summers. When I went there, I wanted to find out how I could deal with the heat. And I decided that, well, it's mandatory to have a swimming pool. So I bought a house with a swimming pool and I began swimming laps. Very boring activity, swimming laps. So I started composing epitaphs as I swam. And I have two-lap epitaphs, four-lap epitaphs, and so on. Here's a two-lapper called The Death of Beauty. She died a beauty of repute, her other virtues in dispute, and one on chastity. Here lies a lady sweet and chaste. Here lies the matter chaste makes waste.
There are others you call those two-lappers. There are four-lappers you can remember.
I had to give a speech to a group of ceramicists in Tempe, Arizona. So I went up there not knowing much about this organization, but they were very funny. They all wore little pottery name tags. There were more of them than I could have imagined, and well organized, from all over the world. So when I got home, I jumped in the pool and I started composing an epitaph that goes like this. Here lies the potter, Tim O'Day, who has himself become his clay, and lest his memory be forgot, recycle him into a pot.
These just start flowing with you, don't they, huh?
Yeah,
there's a rhythm to them. And
they're very well crafted, if I may say so myself.
So, you're a painter, a poet, a novelist, a professor, and a cook, aren't you?
I have been in my day, yeah. I enjoy cooking, and I like food, so I combine the two things.
You enjoy being a member of the Kiowa Gourd Dance Society?
Yes, that's very important to me. That's one of the chief societies in the tribe. I've been a member for quite a few years.
That is a dance?
There is a gourd dance, and this society does the dance in July every year.
And what are we to draw from that? What is the meaning of all that?
It's a soldier society, and it commemorates the heyday of the tribe.
I think this is interesting about Christianity and the American Indian community. While Christianity meant nothing but good, do you think that as they came, maybe as missionaries, that they also didn't work to preserve the culture of the Indians, but there was a conversion process going on here, if you converted to Christianity and maybe even to the white man's culture?
That is an old story, yes. I lived at Jemez when I was a boy, 12 years old, and up till the time I was about 17. It was interesting to see how the church, the Catholic Church, existed there, along with the tribal religion. The two have coexisted, let's say, for 400 years, and they seem to do it successfully. I often wondered, you know, in a crisis, which claims your greater loyalty, and I don't know the answer to that. I know that the Indian religion is alive and well. It's very strong. And certainly the people at Jemez consider themselves Christians. They go to Mass, and they bury their dead in the Campo Santo. But they also have this other and older religion. How they keep the two things alive is perhaps a mystery.
Well, there was, in the Indian religion, the use of peyote. There was a time where they attempted to get it banned by federal law. As a matter of fact, in 1916, Representative Harry Gandy of South Dakota, Senator Thompson of Kansas, introduced legislation to outlaw peyote, but it took a senator from Oklahoma, Senator Robert L. Owen, to block and ultimately defeat that. That was a close call to the Indians, wasn't it?
Yes. Had it been outlawed, I'm not sure what difference it might have made, but I think it would have made a difference.
And then they organized a Native American church.
Yes. The original users of peyote were in the south, like the Kiowas and the Comanches, in the southern plains because of the proximity of peyote in Mexico. But when the church was started, it became widespread all over the nation. Still, the source of peyote remains in the south.
What is peyote?
It's a hallucinogenic drug that grows in Mexico. You take it in various ways. You can smoke it. You can drink it as a tea. And it produces visions. So for the Plains tribes, like the Kiowas and the Comanches, who were big on the vision quest, you know, it seemed a natural way to go because of the hallucinatory effect.
Have you smoked peyote?
I've tried it, yeah. I don't do it regularly, but I've had peyote.
So they use it now in the sacrament, I guess, of the church.
Yeah, I guess you can call it that. I've never attended a Native American church ceremony, but I have an idea of what it is based on an older ceremony.
That's practiced even today, then?
Oh, yes.